The Darwin Problem. Now let's talk about evolution. Although the official view is that Darwinian evolution is a proven fact, many scholars have concluded that it is simply impossible. And these are not creationists, but grounded scientific researchers with professional credentials. For example, Professor Louis Bonnor, director of research at the French National Center of Scientific Research, said, "Evolutionism is a fairy tale for grown-ups. This theory has helped nothing in the progress of science. It is useless." Wolfgang Smith, a mathematics professor from MIT and Oregon State University, made his position very clear. "Today, the Darwinian theory of evolution stands under attack as never before. A growing number of respectable scientists are defecting from the evolutionist camp. For the most part, these experts have abandoned Darwinism, not on the basis of religious faith or biblical persuasions, but on strictly scientific grounds." Niles Eldredge, a paleontologist from the American Museum of Natural History, discussed the speed with which complex life suddenly appeared on Earth. "Beginning about 600 million years ago, all over the world, at roughly the same time, thick sequences of rocks, barren of any easily detected fossils, are overlain by sediments containing a gorgeous array of shelly invertebrates, trilobites, brachiopods, mollusks. Creationists have made much of this sudden development of a rich and varied fossil record where, just before, there was none. This does pose a fascinating intellectual challenge." J.R. Norman, a zoologist from the British Museum of Natural History, said in 1975 that the geological record has so far provided no evidence as to the origin of the fishes. In 1960, W.E. Swinton, also from the British Museum of Natural History, said, "The evolutionary origin of birds is largely a matter of deduction. There is no fossil evidence of the stages through which the remarkable change from reptile to bird was achieved." Professor Derek Auger, from the Imperial College of London's Department of Geology, wrote in 1976 that, "It must be significant that nearly all the evolutionary stories I learned as a student have now been debunked." The Darwinian crowd has naturally fought vigorously against this opposition, claiming there have been new advances. But in light of all the evidence we've been presenting, along with many other data points, the theory simply doesn't hold up very well. The fossil record consistently shows us one type of creature, which then upgrades into a new, improved, more evolved version over a very short period of time, geologically speaking. There are very few transitional fossils that could support Darwin's original theory. We don't see any examples of fish where the skeleton is half in and half out of the body. We have shellfish and bony fishes with nothing in between. And that's just one of many curious examples. Even in the case of human evolution, there are significant and unsolvable problems. If you remember hearing about the search for a so-called missing link, a transitional species that can explain how human brain size suddenly doubled in a short time, bear in mind that it still hasn't been found. According to Lord Solly Zuckerman, chief scientific advisor to the United Kingdom and professor of anatomy at the University of Birmingham, "If man evolved from an ape-like creature, he did so without leaving a trace of that evolution in the fossil record. If it's not Darwinian random mutation causing these changes to occur, then what is it?" Two University of Chicago paleontologists, David Raup and James Sepkoski, may have found the answer. Together, they carefully assembled the largest collection of marine fossils ever accomplished, comprising an incredible 3,600 genera of ocean life. In 1982, they first published an article in the journal Science describing four mass extinctions they'd found in the fossil record, as well as a fifth one that was less significant. As they continued to process this data, they faced a perplexing problem. Patterns were increasingly appearing in the fossil record that shouldn't be there. Yet the more research they did, and the harder they tried to get rid of it with the facts, the stronger the pattern became. In 1984, 2 years after they released their initial paper, they came clean, publishing their astonishing results, which still haven't had the effect on the scientific community that they should have. In short, new species were spontaneously appearing in short bursts in the fossil record in a repeating cycle of approximately 26 million years. This pattern extended back some 250 million years out of a total of 542 million years of fossils they cataloged. The story became even more interesting in 2005 when Dr. Richard A. Muller, a physics professor at University of California, Berkeley, and his graduate student, Robert Rode, discovered another cycle of evolution in Raup's and Sepkoski's data. This time, it went all the way back to the beginning of the marine fossil record, some 542 million years ago. Muller and Rode found that every 62 million years, more or less, all life on Earth went through a relatively spontaneous upgrade, transforming the existing species into newer, more evolved forms. In a National Geographic article that same year, Muller said, "I wish I knew what it all meant. I'm betting it will be astronomy, and he's betting it will be something inside of the Earth." In a Daily Galaxy article, originally from 2009, Muller seemed to be closer to winning the bet.